Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young. We have another hot topic for you tonight. The topic's going to be measles increase, not just here in the United States, but globally. Why? There's various reasons why. And we have our guest, Selena Lindsay, that's on the line, and she'll be sharing a lot of information also. Okay, in the United States, there has been an increase in measles. Why? Why the increase in measles? If you had measles vaccination, you may still come down with measles. What is Center of Disease Control saying about the increase in measles? California and Ohio has the highest rate of increase in measles. Some states have no increase. Why? Why do we have measles? Another hot topic tonight. If you're calling in and you want to share or have a question, all you have to do is dial 858-769-4936 and press 1, and then you're on the air globally. Okay. Hi, Selena. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Great.
Great. Okay. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hi, good evening. I'm Selena Ann Lindsay, and I am a retired CPA. In addition to that, I sit on the board of between 15 and 30 different nonprofits, and I also run 8 of them. At the end of the show, I'll be telling you a little bit more about some of the various ones that are in various different communities and what they do and how they may benefit you.
Yes, so anyway, they said there's a rise, has been a rise. Ohio reported 396 cases, California 380, New York, I'm only mentioning the top ones, New York 250, and Washington 102. The least amount of cases have been in South Carolina, 0, Maine, 0, Montana, 0, Arkansas, 1 case, Oklahoma, 1 case, and there's a few others like that also. Center of Disease Control stated that it's probably due to people not being vaccinated. What do you think about that? Do you think that's the problem?
Well, I think in terms first of all, let's get rid of some of the misconceptions.
Okay.
One of the misconceptions is that by being vaccinated that you can get measles. In the first place, what we have to do is really understand that measles is a very contagious disease. That, some of the ways that you can get measles does not necessarily even come into formulating your mind as to how this can happen. In 3 of them, for instance, if you cough, if you sneeze, if you talk, and you have the measles, on top of that, the disease can permeate itself on objects, and it can be there for a long time. And so when they say contagious, this is no joke. And the fact that, in addition to that, in the United States, which they like to make the statement and call it North America, in the first place is the way they do things. They do not report cases each year. So in a sense, what they do is sort of round things up. There can be more cases than they're actually talking about. We can back up a little bit in history. And in history, in 1980, there were 2.6 million deaths worldwide. In, say, 2013, there were 145,000. Now, they like to make the claim that it was basically a decline, and the United States declared eradication in the year 2000. However, in the year 2014, 644 cases were reported. And the CDC reports that 121 happened recently at the Disneyland outbreak. And from basically one person being there having the measles, more than 50 cases turned up.
Wow. Well, because I had read in one article, it says the measles virus can remain active on surface for about 2 hours, infecting people who pick up the virus on, say, their hands, then they rub it in their eyes or nose, and it is contagious. So within 3 to 4 days, it shows you have it.
Go ahead. Once you get something in the air and you can breathe it, my goodness, it's contagious.
Yes, it is. It's one of those highly contagious, and it's true. We thought we had eradicated it in the year 2000, and now we're showing an increase. They said in the United States they've reported one case per million people, but globally there's 40 cases per the same 1 million. So it's a lot higher globally. Is it because they don't have access to the vaccines? That's why the global one is higher than ours is here?
I would think that would be a good argument that obviously everything costs money. And and also that usually, for instance, let's be for real, do we really think they have measles out in the middle of the jungle?
No.
They don't tend to have measles until one of them Americans shot through there.
Absolutely.
The same thing happened with the Indians. They didn't have a lot of things until a ship sailed in.
And the diseases sailed in with it.
That's what I'm talking about. And so they didn't need a vaccination either. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have it.
And we get
but now we have a problem. Since Americans and various people from other countries can be worldwide travelers, this presents somewhat of a problem because this is how we end up with various different outbreaks. And no more than I think in looking back, say, to the Disneyland outbreak, when because people come from other places. And it is true that basically if you don't have a vaccination, then the probability is, according to CDC, that the other people that are around it are going to be more prevalent to coming down with the disease, with the virus.
That's true. Now, I did read that even though you have the vaccine, there's a small percentage that still comes down with the measles. But to see the numbers go down drastically the way it has, it's still better to be safe instead of sorry. Because people might not be aware there's two forms of measles, too. You have the one that's called the red one, that's the red rash, and then you got the other one that's the German measles. So those are still there, but they're not at the numbers that they once was because of the vaccine. I would encourage vaccination, not to take a chance, even though there's a whole segment of societies that don't believe in any vaccines at all. There are complications with measles. There can be anything from pneumonia, ear infection, diarrhea, convulsion, liver inflammation, hepatitis, brain inflammation, which is really that's encephalitis. You can end up with an infection of the optic nerve that can lead to blindness. You can also have heart complications. So it's better to get the vaccine than not. And there's something like, I think they said 164,000 people who die from the disease around the world every year. So that's on a global basis. And adults can be at risk too. So we can't, because, I'm grown now. I'm immune to it. No, you're not. Because a lot of people think it's just a childhood thing. But no, adults can come down with measles too. Now, pregnant women cannot be vaccinated. Their only way of not coming down with it is avoidance. They shouldn't travel international. They try to encourage them not to. Stay away from anyone who's been exposed to it. So even though the person doesn't have the measles or haven't shown the signs and symptoms, if they've been exposed, then that pregnant mom should stay away. And, you know, people need to be honest, too. Yes, I've been exposed to measles. And, you know, so you know that they know to stay away. Because if they don't, they're picking up with birth defects or neurological abnormalities. So it's important that the person doesn't be around, even if they don't think they have it. They've been exposed because measles is a virus and a highly, highly contagious virus. I know we all had the measles. I forgot the date that they came up with the vaccine, but I still say thank God they, you know, did come down, you know, come up with the vaccine.
Well, it has a nasty way of hanging around. You know, the measles virus breathes in the mucus of the nose and the throat of an infected individual. And so those that are contagious can spread measles up to 4 days prior to the presence of symptoms. And even after those symptoms, 5 days after. And, you know, some of those symptoms are, you know, like as you said, a fever. And these fevers are usually severe because they can go as high as 105 degrees Fahrenheit, which, you know, is no joke. Humans don't really like that kind of stuff. You know, that can get to be a problem. And along with the fact that you get a rash, and the rash, as you said, whether or not it's your, like Kentucky chicken, your original measles or the German ones, you get the blotchy rash or the reddish-brown skin. The rash typically develops after 4 days after a viral exposure. And it can usually start with a blotchy discoloration on the face and, you know, around the hairline, and then it goes to the neck, the shoulders, the arms, your torso, your legs, and your feet. So this thing ain't nothing pretty.
No, it's not.
And a lot of people end up with the scarring. And years and years ago, you know, because I'm definitely old school, you know, mom had us all bathed up in Calamine lotion. You know, we look like ghost kids, you know. Yeah, because, and she was kind of, you know, whenever we kind of, there was something going around that we got, she kind of really just, you know, decided that, you know what, all of y'all just get in the room together so we can get this over with. Yeah, because, you know, she got tired, yeah. That, you know, you get one kid and then the next kid and the next kid. But it was no joke. One of the other symptoms, however, is a cough. And this particular cough can be like an irritating cough, which is one of the telltale signs of measles. The measles virus, the cough is usually, a cough syrup doesn't do anything for it. And over-the-counter remedies don't stop it either. And also, too, we can call it by its medical name, which is rubella virus, spreads primarily, again, through the mucus droplets past when coughing. And remember, this thing is airborne, so once you start hacking all over the place, the very people that are breathing it, if they are unvaccinated, then they're going to have it, too. And oftentimes, too, the measles is easily confused with a influenza because people think they just got the flu or a common cold. They think that, you know, some of the same stuff you have with a common cold, muscle aches, fatigues, pain, that this stuff is just, you know, it just comes with it, but it's not. Also, too, you can have nasal congestion, the measles virus will cause a runny nose and sneezing, especially in the early stages. And again, this nasal congestion will not be, you're not going to be able to soothe it over with brother's cough medicine or any of that kind of stuff. It just remains vigilant. And keep in mind, again, that it's spread through the mucus, which often, even the mucus itself, remains contagious for a few hours after you sneeze or you have contact with another person. And one of the other things you get with the measles is you get some mouth sores. They have a name for that, which I can't really pronounce. I don't know if they call it caoplique spots, which are,
white spots in the mouth.
Exactly. And so they're indicative of the measles. And they usually happen a few days prior to developing the measles rash. The rash usually forms in clusters, and white lesions in the mouth or near the lower molars and the back of the mouth and throat. And they kind of look like little tiny particles of salt. And so all these kinds of things are definite symptoms. And kids, they get pink eye. And the pink eye, as you know, if you've ever had anything to do with kindergartners, is another very contagious type of disease. And usually that's why they recommend that you take your kid home. One or both eyes become red, swollen, and watery. And one or both eyelids can become painfully inflamed and really itchy. And sometimes they drain with a yellow or a thick white mucus. And so as you can see, with some of the symptoms, it's just not nice. And one more to the pot would be a sensitivity to light. You may not really like being in a well-lit room, or actually have what they call a photophobia when you're exposed to natural light, and you may have to wear sunglasses. So the measles doesn't play around.
No, it doesn't.
And
the other
for
thing
me,
that you...
CDC to make some of the statements that it makes, it's sort of hilarious. And again, point to the fact that in North America, they don't really count the cases. They don't even state how it is that they really keep track of these cases. But what they seem to be really good at is keeping track of death. Because they do point to the fact that basically, there's been 2.6 million deaths worldwide.
Right.
So,
if a person doesn't go to the hospital, those cases are not. There's no way to report it or know it. And you do have a percentage of people. You know, they've already did their own diagnosis, and they don't see the point in going to the hospital. And so, of course, you're going to always miss that of society. The other thing is, if you're unaware of your immunity status, you can find out by a simple blood test. What they'll do is draw your blood, and they'll detect antibodies to the rubella or the rubella, indicating that you're immune. If that doesn't happen, you can get vaccinated before you travel.
Well, right now, as we speak in New York State, the New York State health officials are warning the public about an exposure to measles from an Australian tourist who is confirmed to have the disease while visiting parts of the United States.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's why some states are higher than the others. California, of course, is crowded. Ohio is, so is New York and a few of the other places.
Well, New York is a melting pot, and that's where people come in at.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably why the cases are higher in places like New York. Well, California outdo New York anyway, but we have a lot of people that come into the state itself. And they can be bring. They do bring it from abroad. They do bring it from other countries. That's why it's important that a lot of times, you know, I'll hear people say, well, we're spending too much money on the foreign countries to eradicate these diseases, not understanding you don't get rid of those things over in those other countries. They just bring it here. And we start all over again. And anyway, they only donate, our country only spend 1%. The numbers aren't high in how much aid goes to those other countries. It's 1% of the budget. That's low. And we're hollering about that. You have to take care of other countries. Other than that, it's coming here to the United States.
Yeah, well, the CDC recommends
it. Disease control, like you've already said, the Australian person going to New York brought it in.
Yeah, well, what do you think about the fact that they want you to get two doses of the shot? The CDC recommends you get the measles, mumps, rubella vaccination, and, you know, they want you to get one at between 1 year old and one and a half, and then they want you to come back when you're 6 years old.
I say whatever works, yes. They've already tried it. Know that, you know, if the other thing is, if you don't want to get the second shot, you got to have a blood test to see if you still have immunity against the measles. And that's not done. It used to be done at one time in history, but not anymore. And I know your favorite thing is cough. Why run a blood test, which is probably more expensive, when you can, you know, just give them the shot, which is probably cheaper. But they've already run tests to prove what works. And I'm all for what works. I know there can be complications from the vaccine, but the complications versus doing
outright
nothing
death.
Is far worse.
Exactly. Outright death. In Europe, they recently had 35 pediatric deaths. And then according to the World Health Organization, the virus found its way across the continent, and it went to Great Britain and Romania, and it hit some numbers there, 21,000. And
wow.
So
Where?
In Great Britain and Romania.
Oh, wow. That's
it came
hot.
From Great Britain and went to Romania. And this is the very stuff we're talking about, as opposed to talking about what the inoculation is doing. Look at what the Grim Reaper is doing, because literally you can almost guarantee you're not going to be around.
So the bottom line is get vaccinated, especially if you're adults, you're traveling, you don't know if you're still immune to the disease itself. They can do a simple blood test to determine that for you, because if you don't have an immunity and you go and you're traveling, you're likely to pick up something. It's easy to pick up something like good old measles or bad measles. It's not good. Anyone just tuning in, you're tuning in to American Health Crisis. You're listening to Selena Lindsay and Paulette Young as your host. And we've been talking about measles, description of it, as well as what's happening today, not only here in the United States, but globally. If you wish to speak, keep in mind your whatever you say, it does go global. There's a lot of countries But you can call in at 858-769-4936 and press 1 if you want to speak, and you'll be on the air immediately. Okay. Not sure if anyone have any questions that's listening out there. I know some of the things I said, what is Center of Disease Control saying about the increase in measles? They believe probably most likely a person has not had a vaccine. Some states have no increases. Maybe those states are the ones where the message has gotten across very well, and the programs where they're promoting vaccinations, that type of thing. But we can end up with a problem in our own country if people elect not to have the vaccine, because it is necessary. And not to have it can have not good consequences from not having it. Okay, this is the time. Selena Lindsay, who's involved in a lot of nonprofit organizations, she's going to highlight some of those in the communities here in California. And if she knows of anything in other states, she'll highlight that too. So get your paper and a pen and jot down this valuable information that she will be giving us. Okay, Selena, you're on.
Okay. One of the first ones that we want to talk about is One.org. One.org is involved in the stop and the spread of HIV through interdisciplinary means, and even before a child is born. They also participate in research and education globally. Just go to one.org. The phone number is there, and you'll be able to see all of the information. The next organization we'd like to talk about is called YourLifeYourVoice.org. And what they try to do is they like to work with kids and people that have behavior problems, and they have partnership programs. You can go to that website, and you'll be able to see a number of different things that they have. And is something fits your need, by all means, please utilize the benefits that they have for the community. Again, the name of that is YourLifeYourVoice.org. The next one is called Camp Corral. Camp Corral is a free summer camp for military children, and they have a priority which they give to wounded, disabled, or fallen military families. You can go to their website, which is www.campcorral.org. The phone number there is 855-605-1267. The next organization we'd like to talk about would be VeteranCareSolutions.org. Veteran Care Solutions is run by LaShonda Jones. And this particular organization, they deal with veterans and helping them re-literate and navigate themselves back into society again. They work with many of the psychological problems by helping them find a social worker and helping them find living facilities or whatever their needs are. You can reach LaShonda Jones at area code 909-329-8288. The next organization, I always like this cute little name, is run by Kathy Braxton. It's called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired, and that organization is located at 290 East D Street. They're in Colton, California. If you have a need, they'd be glad to try to help or assist you with some of those needs. And one of the things that they do on the fourth Saturday of every month is they give away some groceries, and very often they're out there doing a little barbecue, or they actually cook hamburgers. So it's a great little place to come hang out. The next organization we want to talk about is called Sowing Seeds for Life. At Sowing Seeds for Life, I'm one of the board members. Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway. It's located in Laverne, California. What we do there, we're the second largest food bank in Southern California. By any means, if you're one of the indigent and you have needs, please call our phone number. If you want to donate or you want to volunteer, please go up to the website or call Fran Robinson at area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. And also, you can always reach me at area code 214-229-8786. The next organization, and this will be the last one, is called Coley's Outreach. Coley's Outreach is primarily put together to help guys that are getting out of prison or have served time. What they try to do is to create a training program and to shorten up those revolving doors so that they don't go back. So we try to put them into some type of blue-collar type job, everything from working with cars to animal husbandry. Keith Coley can be reached at area code 909-358-7391. At the end of every radio show, I have a little speech that I do, and that speech goes a little bit like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. I'm not sorry. I don't care. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work hard to be. I take risks and I use myself. I tell sly stories and experiences. I share my weakness and also my mistakes. I choose to use me as the guinea pig. My belief is to help those that cannot help themselves. I am Selena A. Lindsay. I thank you for listening to this broadcast. Good night.
Good night. We'll be on the air again next Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time. If you want to be a part of the program, just call in 858-769-4936. Press 1. Like our page, Healthcare Consultants, and you can listen to any of the broadcasts at any time. Thank you.
Who's a paid healthcare consultant?
Give us a name to go out.
Call it.
I don't know if they can go.
Okay, let me take this in. You got my nose punch? Like that?
Yep.
Is it Emil Earhart in it? Is Emil Earhart in it?
No.
What are you trying to?
I'm trying to close the line.